And welcome back inside the cave on this Tuesday morning. Pat Hayes along with John Cain, brought to you by D&P Communications. And as promised, on the other end of our line this morning, we have Tom Crawford. Tom is with the Crawford Podcasting Network and a regular on Fox 47 out of Lansing. Tom, we had the christening over the weekend of the Lloyd Carr Tunnel. And was really quite a mess over there in Ann Arbor. I know you were not in the tunnel, but you know a lot of people that were there.
Well, I was in the press conference after the game. We had a couple players early on, Blake Corm, J.J. McCarthy. We got done with that interview, or during that interview, Jennifer Hammond pulled up on her, on her laptop, this video that we were sharing with each other, and then asked the two kids questions who knew nothing about it, and so we, obviously they couldn't address it, but it was pretty despicable of what happened in the tunnel. It's like the game all of a sudden is just what happened on between the lines, which should be our focus of our discussion, has defaulted into this, just unacceptable. Trying to basically concuss a kid with his helmet. I mean, what happened in the tunnel to Jamon Green, and I sent you that video a little bit ago, is just, as Ward Manuel said, totally unacceptable. I've never seen, been attended a postgame presser, and I've done this for 20-some years, where it was just a very unsettling, after a win, mind you, where he had the athletic director and the head coach addressing this, and we got a long way to go. We got a lot of hurdles to clear in this, sorting this out, and it seems to have polarized people as well, depending on what colored lens they look through, as in green and white or maize and blue.
Well, it certainly was a tragedy there, but a lot of legal action, I'm sure, is probably coming out of this whole thing, and we talked before this game last week that this is probably one of the dirtiest games that's played all year long, and we were expecting that, but nothing to the length or the magnitude of what actually happened.
I started a website, but when websites were just starting out back in 1995, it was called Bitter Rivals with one of my coworkers, a Michigan State grad, and it was based on the premise of celebrating the rivalry and good nature, jabbing and things of this nature. And that's kind of propelled my career back into media, which I started my career with in sports media. And I've talked to a lot of former players, Michigan players, about that Michigan State game. And they had told me, and I'll never forget Jared Bunce, a former Michigan fullback, saying, you just don't want to hang around the pile. Because it's nasty. It's nasty underneath the pile, around the pile, and now in the tunnel. And he compared it. He's an Ohio guy. He compared the Ohio State Michigan game as being intense, a lot on the line. The fans are super intense, but it was a cleaner, more respectful of the game competition versus the Michigan State game, which was chippy and, it just got out of hand. And then you have these narratives of fans, and we noticed this in 2015, of just celebrating the crushing photos of something bad happened. Whoa, he has trouble with the snap, and the fan with his hands on top of his head. And, it's just celebrating the humiliation of the other team, of the loss, their demise, versus the jubilation of your team winning. And I'm going to tell you what, and everybody's going to differ on me, depending on what color lens, it started with a Michigan-Appalachian State game when Will Tiemann, a very good friend of mine, mind you, asked Mark D'Antonio about his reaction to the loss, which had just happened, and can we have a moment of silence, was his reaction, hence the kneeling for the Michigan team after that irritated Michigan, so they kneeled down after the game in the 07 game, which was a very emotional game, and then Mike reacted with a little brother in the post game, and then D'Antonio, you know, taking it to a collegiate kid's level with his post game, it's never over, and mocking his height. And from that time, it's game on for Michigan, Michigan State.
Well, I mean, Tom, to me, the saddest, you know, part of this whole thing is that those players that were involved in this incident, they demean their own team. They have worked, Michigan State has worked so hard to re-elevate this matchup into a serious rivalry by winning over the last 5 years or so. And then all that hard work can just go down the drain in one irrational reaction to the tunnel.
You know, John, you frame that perfectly. That's exactly it. It's such a, you know, we're all vulnerable, our reactions. I mean, I'll never forget Judd Heathcote used to always say, the game eventually makes fools of us all, the emotion of the rivalry. And it's so true. But, you know, you have to, this is stepping over the line. And it becomes a legal slash criminal situation. And I have a MSU wife who graduated Michigan State and a daughter who graduated from Michigan State, one of my three kids. And they're both disgusted, even though they love the Spartans, with what happened. It is not a good look. And what there's a lot of things in that and there's a lot to be fleshed out here, guys. Why the two players, I mean, Jamon Green evidently has this tradition of going up the tunnel right after the game. But, when you had Jaden McBurrows go up there and you had the video clip, and I'm open-minded totally to this, and he was kind of skipping up there, that's not a good situation. That's kind of a brewing thing for trouble, but that doesn't still obviously condone what happened. So there's a lot of that stuff to be fleshed out. But the bottom line, when I saw Michigan State players, mind you, one holding one up like a big-time wrestling hold, and while Jamon Green is getting his head crushed with a helmet, you have that one, which is most disturbing. But when you have Michigan State players looking back and seeing it and then keep walking the locker room, this is insane. You're basically condoning what is happening. And that's what all that stuff, all that visual imagery, I think is going to be truly evaluated over time. I think the Big Ten is going to step in here if Michigan State doesn't have further dismissals. And I think this is really, really going to be a compelling narrative for the next 24, 48 hours. I can't not think that's not going to happen.
Well, looking at the videos, you know, there's more than four people involved in both of those incidents. And, where do we go from here?
That's a great question. I don't know where you go from here. I mean, you're going to have to, I look at this you've known me a long time, Pat. I mean, I try, even though I'm up here and on the front lines, I try to look at things in proper perspective of a clear perspective of, not everybody, it's not just one person's fault. You know, I didn't like Blake Corum's, the taunting of Mel Tuck coming. It looked like he running, you know what I mean? I didn't like that. I don't like that. I don't like humiliation, jubilation, if you know what I mean, after a game. It's not a good look. So I think both programs need to look at that. But obviously Michigan State is more at guilt. And you got to understand something. You know, Michigan State, their players are basically, they're fed the narrative, that you don't like that school down the road. I mean, think about it. Mel Tucker doesn't refer to Michigan as Michigan. It's the school down the road. This is very obviously Ohio State-esque, school up the road, just call him. I mean, Jim Harbaugh calls Michigan State. What does he call Michigan State? He calls him Michigan State. That's why, and I call Michigan State Michigan State. Start there and just start being a little bit more respectful of your opponent, your rival. But I'm telling you what, maybe it's not possible because this set is back a long, long way that's going to take a lot of remedying to fix.
I think you're accurate there. I mean, this is going to take years to get. I mean, we were there. I mean, the rivalry was great, and we were at a point where, yeah, so much more, you know, fan anticipation going on, and now we're back to the dark ages again.
Yeah, and the thing of it is, it's a lot, and it, you know, and I'm not going to go political on it, but there's a lot of parallels, you know, in politics of pushing a narrative at one, and you know, so I got Michigan State people sending me this article, well, you know, from Jim Comperoni. Jim Comperoni for SpartanMag.com, he wanted just to frame his background is he's the one that called for Notre Dame to take out Devin Gardner's knees, you know, in a basically, you know that's the kind of venom he has towards the University of Michigan. And you know what? I interact with him. You know, I mean, you know, he's a good dude for the most part. But then he writes an article, and it sends out on SpartanMag.com and all those message boards, and it's circulated, pushed over and over and over, citing Jim Harbaugh as the primary reason this is happening, as it's his fault. Same thing, my longtime friends and radio colleagues, Mike Valeni and Rico Beer in 97.1 in Detroit, they're pointing at pretty much as the primary person at fault is Jim Harbaugh. And you know, Pat, you don't know. I mean, I'm not totally bullish on Jim Harbaugh. I mean, I got ripped by the local Ann Arbor media for being critical of the scheduling. And you know, our Big Ten media days kind of stare down. I mean, so, I mean, I try to look at this in a clear mind. But that what those two dudes, friends of mine, did, you know, just diminishing pretty much, or you know, they qualify, yeah, hey, I'm not condoning, you know, this kind of behavior, but, and then boom, they go back in. What they do is they push in, it's Michigan's fault. That's the kind of crap that's going on, and it's been tiring, fatiguing for me for the last 50-some hours.
Okay, well, okay, we've only got a couple minutes left. I want to shift focus here just a little bit.
To the game, huh?
Yeah, let's talk. You know, I don't want to minimize what, let's say, Illinois has done this year, but are we starting to drift towards a Big 2 and a smaller 12?
Big Ten? You know, that's another good question. I don't think so. I think Illinois has got something cooking there. Truly, you know, with that defense, and you know, I thought that Nebraska might get them. I think they're going to be a tough opponent, and you know, Michigan to beat Ohio State, you know, to be that Big 2, they got to fix this red zone offense. I mean, they have the tools to do it. I don't, you know, from a scheme standpoint, execution standpoint, when they get inside the 10, when Donovan Edwards caught that ball and went inside the 6, I turned to Pat, oh God. Here we go again. And he's tired of me saying it, but here we go again. Another field goal. Yeah, I mean, they got to fix that, or it's not going to be a Big 2. It's going to be a Big 1.
Do you think that the play calling inside the red zone, especially like in the second half, maybe was just playing it safe because they knew Michigan State was not going to be capable of putting points on the board?
That's a valid point, and just, you know, do it that way. But I think, you know, long term, I would look at it as we're preparing for the future here, guys. I mean, I'm saying to Harbaugh, saying to his, you know, offense coordinators, whatever, we got to get this ball in the end zone. I mean, we scored 7 times, but only 2 of them were touchdowns, and 1 of them was, you know, inside the 10-yard line off that. Well, we had trouble with the snap. Not to mock Michigan State, but I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, it's like they got to fix this thing. Like, we use a waggle play from with Jeremy Tooman, the tight end, you know, back in the days in 97. They got to figure out, and they're horrible on first down. All these have been negative plays on first down when they've gone in the red zone. So they got, I don't know, if, you know, they got to get more creative and they got to execute more. I mean, run the damn ball 4 times. You're better off than trying to do something else.
Well, we got Rutgers coming up this week, another 7:30 ball game. Do we have to worry about Rutgers at all?
Well, I think if I'm worried about Rutgers is worrying about Michigan. I mean, this is a huge distraction, I would think, what took place. And the same Michigan State's going to experience the same thing with Illinois. Mel Tucker hadn't even looked at their film yet. So I worry about Michigan more than Rutgers. I think Michigan on paper is, you know, and I'm pretty confident they'll win the game. But they gotta get the focus going here, and that's easier said than done.
Tom, we are out of time here, but we want to remind folks how they can get a hold of your podcast.
Yeah, on Twitter at Bluebelly Tom, also on Facebook Tom Crawford at Tom's Take Community. I have a page there, and I push a lot of video, and I'm on Wolverine.com with John Borton on Tuesdays on our YouTube channel, 5:30 to 6:15. Also, that's you can pull that up and see it anytime. So. I'm always talking Michigan football and always enjoy being out with you guys.
All right, Tom Crawford, our guest here this morning. You can hear Tom every Tuesday at 7:25 right here on 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com. Tom, thanks again. We'll talk to you next week.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thanks.
All right, Tom Crawford, our guest here on Inside the Cave. We'll be right back.